Thank you, never retired Pastor Dave. Good morning again. If you haven't caught this along the way, my name is Janet Wilson, and I serve as the associate pastor here at Chapel Hill. Pray with me, please, as I begin. Loving God, walk with us this morning as we move one step further on your path, one step toward you, one step toward understanding how Jesus loved here on earth, one step closer to the cross and resurrection day, one step closer to becoming the loving people you would have us be. In the name of the one who loves us all, amen. As I begin this sixth message in our seven-part series based in this passage of 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to offer my very high-level Janet paraphrase of where we've been so far. As Paul writes to the people of the church in Corinth, he says it's all about love. God's story, written here, says it's always been about love. Love is patient and kind, like Jesus. It is not being an arrogant or rude jerk, or an angry or unforgiving one. Love calls us to speak and seek the truth and stay away from evil. That's where we've been. Today we move to these words. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. We'll consider what these words mean to the Corinthian community, to our own faith community, and to us individually, and we'll connect them, as we have all along, with the life and ministry of Jesus. Are you with me so far? So what might this part of Paul's letter mean to the community at Corinth? If you remember, this is a church started by Paul in a Roman seaport colony. Paul had spent 18 months living with them, preaching, teaching, and leading, trying to form a Jesus way community with both Jews who believed Jesus was the Messiah and with Gentiles who believed a whole bunch of things in a very diverse and different culture. At this point, Paul's been gone from Corinth for a while, and he's hanging out in Ephesus, receiving letters and messages about how they're doing. Much of the epistle or letter of 1 Corinthians addresses problems, issues, questions, and concerns that the Corinthians are having. This chapter points them toward the way of love found in Christ. These particular words point forward a bit. Don't give up. Be hopeful and faithful. Endure in every circumstance. In reading this chapter and the commentaries on it, I'd sum up the issues the Corinthian church is having in three questions they seem to be asking Paul. What do we believe? Who do we follow and trust? What do we do about all these differences that we're having? This wasn't a church that was enduring the kind of persecution and danger that was present in some early Christian communities. They were messily separating from the Jewish leaders and synagogues. There was actually a lawsuit happening and a trial that closely resembled that of Jesus and the Roman court in Jerusalem. They were combining a new blend of people with diverse Greek, Roman, and immigrant cultures whose worship and moral laws were very different from the Judaic roots of Christianity. And there was a lot of people being people. Messy, impatient, unkind, prideful, arrogant, doubtful, angry, untruthful. And they seemed to be beginning to lose hope. So enter this letter, pointing them back to the ways of love and the ministry, teaching, life, death, and resurrection of Christ. If you finish out reading this book, you will see Paul lead them back to the life of Christ. Don't give up. Be hopeful and faithful. Endure in every circumstance. Love will lead the way. How many of you have belonged to more than one faith community in your life? Just raise a hand. A lot of us, most of us, really. And there are lots of reasons why people change churches. Location can change. We get married, we move, a job changes. Sometimes we just move houses in a community. Sometimes we outgrow a doctrine or a spiritual approach. But sometimes things can just get really hard. Part of the negative view of the Christian church in much of the world is how hard and how ugly this can get in Christian community. Someone steals significant funds. A child is abused. Things become more important than people. A spiritual leader falls into significant, damaging sin and loses all trust and often their position. Beloved, long-serving pastors retire. A tornado strikes. People leave in a mass exodus. For those of you who have been at Chapel Hill less than 6 or 7 years, you might not recognize those last three things as part of our history, but they are. This faith community still stands because there was a core group of believers who prayed, worshiped, stayed, and remained faithful and hopeful. They endured a lot that was hard, messy, and painful, but they didn't give up on meeting God in this place or on God's ability to create beauty out of chaos. For 7 years on staff, I've had a strong sense that God is preparing us for a God-sized purpose, that all that mess was not for nothing. Since Chad arrived, he has felt the same thing. And here we are, still standing, a stronger community following the Jesus way on the brink of a new thing, a merger that, if affirmed, will create a new faith community with so much potential and promise, and that we'll need to lean on the love of Christ every step of the way. God is good, people. God is good. God is good for us as well. But there sure are times when it doesn't feel like it. So what do these words, don't give up, be hopeful and faithful, endure in every circumstance, mean to us when it doesn't, when things aren't good? Many of the earlier parts in 1 Corinthians passage speak more of everyday life, where we're just messy humans blundering our way through life like we do. This verse speaks more to those times when it is just too much, too painful, too overwhelming, when hope seems to have flown to another household. It's the place where the marriage is on the rocks, where addiction and abuse are running the show, where relationships are strained or broken, where the prognosis is not good, when we're just waiting, swimming, drowning in our own feelings of abandonment, pain, fear, or anger. It's those times where even our own best efforts can't seem to affect the situation, where things are beyond our influence, our solutions, our control. How many of us have ever found ourselves in one of those places, times, situations? It is life. In many ways, the choice of the moment is clear. Give up, don't give up. That's what you got. Sometimes we do have to give up on a situation. It's beyond our ability to fix, solve, influence, or control. We have to set a boundary, make a change, take care of our health and well-being, accept what is, and surrender any pretense of control. But giving up on a situation is a different thing than giving up on love. Our human-sized love may be spent, depleted, totally empty. It is in these times where we need a God-sized, Jesus-led kind of love. What would it mean if we never give up at the level of God's love on that person, that illness, that situation? What if it is knowing that love endures? Believing that even if we can't heal or redeem the person, the situation, the relationship, that there is a greater love operating that will endure until the end. Sometimes we have to carry hope for one another, for the situation, and offer this love as the only thing we really have. What if we let go and receive the love of God to sustain us in these hardest of times? Oh man, we're back on the whole let go thing. So we'll practice this. This is a prayer practice, just kind of holding on to what we have and letting it go to God. We're going to take a moment in the midst of this message to pause for prayer. Because if you're in a situation then where this has struck your heart, it's deep. If you're in a situation where you need to let go and trust love, or if you know someone who is, please offer all of that to God from your heart in this moment. If you're blessed enough to not have that in your life right now, please pray for all those who do. We'll take a minute in silence for you to offer that, to let go, and then I'll pray. So pray with me. Lord, you have always been and always will be. We offer up these cries of the heart from persons in our midst and the people they walk alongside. We offer up these places of stuck and impossible and despair and hopelessness. You are the God of the impossible. You are the God of presence in all things. Make your presence felt and your love known in all these situations. May we trust in your will, your way, your timing, and your plan, in the name of love. Amen. In this series, we've been looking at the place of the words in the lives of Corinthians and in our own lives, but also in the life, ministry, and actions of Jesus. We had that wonderful song as we entered about the stories. And we've been reminded that Jesus was being human in many ways. It's not that Jesus didn't feel human emotion. It's that Jesus drew from an endless well of the divine to respond out of love. Responding out of love as he was demonstrating patience with crowds, children and disciples, and kindness to the outcast, the diseased, the lost and lonely. Showing humility, even as crowds gathered and accolades grew, and Satan offered him all the power in the world. Living out the emotion of anger in the ways of righteousness and his Father's truth, but never in the ways of snapping, sarcasm, bitterness, or rage. Consistently speaking and moving toward the truth amidst maneuvering, fear and manipulation by the Jewish leaders around him and the power of the Roman state. Demonstrating steady forgiveness with all those he met, sinners, tax collectors, the woman caught in adultery, and his disciples time and time again. Jesus was fully human. He had his own human body, heart, mind, and will. In every moment, he had to lean on his Father and make a choice of how to be. In every moment, we have to lean on the love of our Father and make a choice of how to be. We thought earlier of places where we and those we love may be in pain and endurance, looking for hope and faith. And in the week ahead, we don't have to look too far to see Jesus in a similar place. This week, along with Christians all over the world, we walk through something called Holy Week. Very shortly after the beginnings of Christianity, followers of Jesus who lived around Jerusalem would gather and visit the actual places that shaped the end of Jesus' earthly life. Over centuries, this practice of remembering the last days spread throughout Christianity, even if you couldn't be in Jerusalem. In this time, we recall the events of the week that led up to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Over the years, this week has become considered the most important and holy time in the life of the church, especially Maundy Thursday, the remembrance of the Last Supper, Good Friday, the remembrance of the day of crucifixion, and Easter, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the video and in your bulletin, you found some opportunities to observe those days in this community, and there are dozens of others in Battle Creek this week. And I encourage you, if you haven't walked this journey before, or if you have done it for decades, to try one extra thing this week and see where God may meet you, where you are today. But we start at this day of Holy Week, Palm Sunday. Hear this traditional Palm Sunday passage from Luke 19, 36 through 40. As he rode along, he being Jesus, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." Jesus is at the end of his ministry, a life filled with all those examples of love that we've explored, more that are told in the Gospels, and all the countless untold stories. Jesus has been speaking of his own suffering and death for a while. He knows what's coming. Yet there is this beautiful moment of triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, the center of Jewish faith and culture. Hosanna, Hosanna, accolades and cheers, smiles and shouts of praise. It must have felt good for a few moments. I hope that it felt good for a few moments in Jesus' human heart. As we walk through the week ahead, from today's triumphal entry all the way to the upper room, to the cross, and to Easter Sunday, I want you to carry that earlier thought with you. Jesus was fully human. He had his own human body, heart, mind, and will. He felt everything as we might feel it. In this week of his life, he felt what we might feel in those minutes of celebration and cheers. Joy, pride, happiness, celebration. He felt everything as we might feel it, as he endured the worst of human life and emotion as he moved through the week ahead. Fear, humiliation, despair, betrayal, the suffering of physical pain beyond our imagining, hopelessness, death. In every painful place, Jesus had to place his capacity to endure, to hope, to have faith, to surrender his will and his life in trust to his Father. He loved Judas, even as Judas betrayed him. He endured his arrest, trial, beating, and scourging with strength, born not out of that human self, but born out of the love of God. Even while on the cross, he reached out in love to the thief beside him and cared for his mother. Love and love and love and love from the endless well of the divine. Are we able to do the same as we walk our road with Jesus? Do we trust in the love that Jesus has shown us in every step and every action? Do we reach into that divine well of love that is also available to us? As I close, I want to offer a beautiful piece of writing by a contemporary writer, Roddy Hamilton. In some ways, I think it's the bookend to Pastor Dave's piece from earlier that invited us into the today of Palm Sunday, and this invites us into the week ahead. May it help us all to keep walking this long road, no matter the path, with Jesus. And it's called Let the Stones Remain Silent. May we remain here to whisper our hosannas throughout this week. When the world goes silent on the cause of God, may we remain crying out the beat, the hosanna beat that marks the rhythm of this week. In the sound of the breaking bread, hear the broken hosanna. In the sound of coins being counted, hear the betrayed hosanna. In the twisting of the crown of thorns, hear the tortured hosanna. In the sound of the lashes, all 39 of them, hear the scourged hosanna. In the sound of nails being hammered, hear the crucified hosanna. In the sound of silence, hear the empty hosanna. May we remain here to whisper our hosannas throughout this week. In every moment, may we remain with you, Jesus, still believing in love, still following in love, still your companions who love you. May we whisper and speak and shout of your love, and this time, too, let the stones remain silent. May we stay with Jesus in this holiest of weeks. May we see his love in our own hard places and seek God's power to endure, to have faith, and to hope as he did. May we see Christ in the world around us and reach out in love. And as we surrender our body, heart, mind, and soul to God, may we remember all that he so freely gave to us. In the name of love, amen.